Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. And you can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And do not miss these featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows. Featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. God of Justice, Sovereign Prophetic. Faith and the Idolatry King. Featured on danaglennsmith.com. Deceived, Sin, Skin, and That Within. In the Dark of the Night, There is Hope. The Law of Change and Bible Prophecy. Way of Truth, False Prophets, and Heresies. Featured on warn-usa.com, Ominous Babylon, Prophetic Book, Part 102 on Battle Line. Book of Hebrews, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Part 1. Christian Persecution Today, the Gospel News on Classic Warn Radio. And don't miss these WIBR Warn Radio weekly shows from March 6th through March 8th. Advocacy, March 6th. My Namesake, America's Revival, Battle for Truth, Miraculous Spreading Gospel, Christian Persecution. Battle Lines, March 7th. Salvation Cometh, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 208. Sound the Shofar, March 8th. The Word of the Lord, My Name, My Glory, Part 9. Be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amid the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Check out The Rising. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy of The Rising on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart. The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. And you can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. And while on the site, be sure to sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter and visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here again.
It is.
And now we're in daylight savings time. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, and we're 2 days before the 15th, which is normally the middle of a month if you've got 30 days. But it's hard to believe, you know. I mean, when you look at it, you know, you've had winter, you've had last fall. It just seems like time flies by all the time.
Sure does.
And we continue to get stories that are in the news and various things going on. And so, you know, these are definitely, you know, when we talk about them, you know, we ask you to pray for these people. Today we're covering Nigeria, Iran, Somali Christians, Indonesia, India, and of course we got two stories on Nigeria. We're talking about a persecuted preacher in Pakistan, Nigerian politics. You know, there's politics. When you look at this, politics shouldn't even enter into it.
That's right.
You know, even in America, we've got people that are, you know, are doing that. You know, they always bring up politics. And so at any rate, and we're doing something a little bit different. We're just going to do a short prayer for all the people we're covering today. And we'll pray for all of those who are listening. Father, we thank you for this 60 minutes. Father, we have a lot of important news and articles about believers and what's happening where they're at. And we also pray for those that listen to this show, but as with always, we pray that whenever they listen, at whatever time, that you would bless them. And if they're sick in body, that you would heal them. If they're bothered and upset, that you would give them peace. And if they don't know you as Savior, draw them to yourself. So we pray for all of these shows that I mentioned. Nigeria, Iran, Somalia, all these news. Indonesia, in India. And these are all persecuted. And so we lift these people up. We lift these shows up. We lift these people that we're covering. I pray that you would meet their needs spiritually, financially, and physically. Lord, I pray that they would be connected to help, humanitarian help. And so we have Barnabas Aid, we have Franklin Graham, we have International Christian Concern, we have Global Christian Relief, we have many others, Lord. Cause these people to be able to find help for food and clothing and shelter. And we pray for protection for them and provision. Lord, provision of food and clothing and shelter, and protection from those that would shoot them or kill them, Lord, because there's so much persecution going on. Deliver the brethren, Lord, from those who intend to cause them harm. Set forth thy warrior angels round about them. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the completion of this prayer, from getting in the way of any part of this prayer. We command this prayer to be fulfilled for it to go forth into the harvest and bring deliverance to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from interfering in any way, shape, or form, in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Up front tonight, in the darkness of the night, there is hope. This comes to us from the Watchman Institute. That's over on danaglennsmith.com. You'll find this on the front page. In the darkness of the night, where the lost seek God, it is God who finds them. Now, this is prose. I write prose, not as much as I do the others. But prose is a fictional story, and I wrote it, Dana Glenn Smith, and it presents a truth of today's world, and it follows the Christian theme. But they're like the old parables, but I call them prose. So they present a truth, a nugget, that stands against the world today and the dangers that we face today. And there's real darkness out there of evil. And we see this in the news almost daily. I would say more than almost. I would say we do. Mm-hmm. And so, now this particular post is about a young girl named Natalie, a fictional character who represents young girls, boys, teens, and adults everywhere. Her fictional story is connected to the real human lives at risk worldwide. Even in America, the darkness is evident. Souls are at risk. So when you read this, you'll be joining me in this story of Natalie. The title about Natalie is this, In the Darkness of the Night. In the darkness of the night, I sought out God. And this is Natalie talking. In the darkness of the night as she wanders. I wondered where I might find him. It was cold, lonely, and no one was about except one lone person across the street. He was standing under a lone street light, dressed in dark clothing and eyed me suspiciously. I moved away at a regular pace, ignoring him, and as I walked, sounds of faint steps echoed behind me. Fear welling up, I turned around, and there wasn't anything there. I could see only empty streets and some lit-up houses. I shook off the fear and reminded myself nothing was about, so I continued my way. In mind of what I was doing, there was no such place to which I was headed, just forward to seek out God, to find some sense of the place and of the time to which I was born. You see, Natalie, and this is just a little excerpt of it, is like many, many kids today, trying to find an answer out on the dark streets worldwide. And there are people that'll help them out, and in the process, take advantage of them. In Matthew 18, 3 through 6, and we're not going to read the whole verse, but we'll read the first sentence. And verily I say unto you, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now the other verse I want to read of this. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. There's a lot of Natalies and others out there. Now, prose can be identified as ordinary writing of a people speaking or writing. I use this fictional or non-fictional method to produce an encounter which may or may not be fictional, but has a deep spiritual and moral lesson to it. In the Darkness of the Night, There is Hope, by the Watchman Dana Glenn Smith. I have given you an excerpt of that story, and you'll find it over on danaglennsmith.com. This is part of the ministry of the WIBR Warren Radio websites and ministries. We are an in-depth biblical teaching, preaching, warning agency. All scripture quoted is King James of the Bible, unless it's noted to be another one. The work and ministry of the WIBR Warren Radio is about the testimony of Jesus Christ through the faith of Jesus Christ. By the mercy of our God and our Father, through His grace extended, flowing from the love of God to all people everywhere, commanding everyone to repent. Remember, in the darkness of the night there is hope. And we do have some special, we are expanding some of our story categories and things, because to put it bluntly, I have been writing for a lot of years, and I started building websites many years ago, and we have articles from those websites, and so we're going to be working. There's some real good material that we want to put on the websites and make it available. So just keep going by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Okay, Tower, we're over in Nigeria.
Yes.
And we've got a lot of Nigeria. It just amazes me. You know, and I take exception, you know, especially in America. You know, whether these people here in America know it or not, you know, we were a Christian nation here. We had a lot of churches. You know, we had great revivals. And during World War II, we came out of it with America not scathed at all. And if it weren't for America in World War II, they'd have never defeated Hitler. God had blessed this country. Today, America is in trouble, because there are globalists and others that are trying to take over this country. And in the process, they are messing everything up. But we trust the Lord that no matter what happens, the Lord is our strength. Nigerian government keeps Christian orphans hostage. You know, now
this is just horrifying.
You know, and I read the scripture about treating the kids right. You know, there's going to be a lot of comeuppance come Judgment Day. Because of all the kids around the world, and I mean it, there are kids literally around the world and have been for as long as I can remember that have been the brunt of sexual perverts and every other kind. Father, look after these orphans. 16 Christian children from the Due Mercy Orphanage will remain in the Nigerian government custody. Now, there's been a 4-year legal battle between the Due Mercy, that's DU, Mercy Orphanage Director, Professor Solomon Tarfa, and the government of Nigeria, which doesn't surprise me. A judge from Kano State High Court says he has too many cases to deal with that are more, which are more important. So he's refusing to grant Tarfa and the children a trial. He urged the parties to settle outside of court, issuing a deadline of June 4th
to get back to him. In the case of the Due Mercy children, it goes back to 2019, and the Nigerian officials felt it necessary to raid the orphanage on Christmas Day. I can't believe they do it on Christmas Day.
Well, I know.
Police officers from the National Agency for the Prohibition of Trafficking in Persons confiscated 29 children and moved them to government-run facilities. Now, see, I don't like the way they wrote that.
I don't either.
You know, they confiscated 29 children.
They kidnapped.
You know.
It sounds like it's contraband or something.
Yeah, it does. It just, I don't like the wordage. And moved them to government-run facilities. I'll bet that's a real whoopee.
Yeah.
And so the professor was detained and imprisoned, and they're charging him with kidnapping and abduction. And so while in custody of the government, they split the children up, including siblings. Now, isn't that nonsense? Now, this is what they forced him to do. Recite Arabic, study Islam, and attend prayers at a mosque. Now, that is not kosher. That is not good in otherwise, you know, other words.
And the next part is even worse.
So in June 2021...
No, wait a minute, you left out this.
Oh,
since the children had Christian names, authorities reassigned them Muslim names.
Yeah.
That's terrible. May they retain their faith.
Well,
Jesus
that's
Christ.
Nigeria, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nigeria, you know, is not good. And we've been covering Nigeria for many, many years. And the first guy that was in charge that I remember so long ago was Jonathan Goodluck Johnson. And he didn't last. But he lasted for a while.
I think he tried to help.
And, well, he tried to do a lot of things. But see, they changed presidents and there's a big fight between Islam and Christianity.
Well, and this is terrible what they're doing to the children to erase their Christian heritage.
Yeah. And so we know they're still in custody.
So in June of 2021...
So, think about these kids. This is a long article. We don't need to... ICC has a note. They continue to pray for the children wrongly held by the Nigerian government. We pray that the authorities recognize their wrongdoing and release the children and repay Professor Tarfa and his wife the reparations they deserve.
Yes, amen.
You know, so that came from International Christian Concern at persecution.org. You know, so, you know, it's a long article. We don't need to go through it, but we gave you the basis of it. And see, it doesn't surprise me that they take the kids away.
And they kept Tarfa in prison for all that time as well.
Yeah.
He just recently got out.
You know, it's just like the whole idea is to make these kids into Muslims. And so, you know, there's just a lot of issues here when you deal with this overseas. And of course, kids, you know, they can't take care of themselves. Although there's many of them do that are wandering around on the streets. So, well, Tower, are you ready?
Yes. Iran, miracles finding Jesus, Yeshua. So this is clipped from FaithWire, comes to us from FaithWire. So it's via faithwire.com. And it's Transform Iran Ministries. One of the leaders of an organization working to spread the gospel to Iranians reports that claims of Middle Easterners encountering Jesus in dreams are quite common, with the Lord using these interactions to draw individuals closer to Him. God is using dreams to speak to Iranians all the time, Lana Silk, who's a U.S. director of Transform Iran. She recently spoke with CBN News. He uses every method he can. The Iranians are open to dreams. They are dreamers. They enjoy talking about their dreams, and they're aware of their dreams, and God uses that to speak to them. While reports of Jesus appearing in dreams to Middle Easterns are prevalent, the same can't be said for Americans more generally, as such anecdotal reports in the West seem far less rampant. Silk explained why she believes there's such a radical difference on this issue between the U.S. and the Middle East. I think we have become quite secular in the West, and we have wanted to rationalize and understand everything, Silk said. And when you're in a place where it has to be within your frame of reference and something that you can explain away, then you end up talking away, or you end up taking away some of the exciting, creative ways in which God likes to speak. She continued, so there is a challenge to us here in the West to take off our need to be able to completely own the information and the process and fully grasp it. Just allow God to wow us and do mysterious things.
Well, I agree with her on that concerning America.
Oh, yeah. It's true. But I think it's going to change.
Well, it definitely is true, because we get a lot of reports about Iranian Muslims having the Lord appear to them. They become Christians.
Yes, and also I was talking about the secularism in America, in the West.
Yeah.
And she shared several powerful stories surrounding Jesus appearing to Iranians in dreams. And one is, one such story involved a Muslim woman who was forced into marriage at age 13 and faced extreme trauma. She told Transform Iran Jesus began appearing to her in her doorway and then in dreams. He would hold out his hand to her and say, "Come and trust me. Come and follow me." And then she would go to sleep, and he would appear to her in her dreams, and he would speak to her. It was a gentle call. The woman, shocked and assuming she needed to cling closer to her Muslim faith to stop the apparitions, started saying her Islamic prayers more reverently. But when she went to say the name of Muhammad one day, something shocking happened. The name Jesus would come out of her mouth. She eventually gave her life to Christ and now serves as a pastor on the Transform Iran ministry team. Her story, of course, is just one of many. And it's no secret Iran's extremist Islamic regime fervently cracks down on Christianity, with faith disallowed and even punished. Jesus' appearance in dreams is often attributed to God's powerful method of breaking past human barriers. Sadly, conversion to Christianity can come at a great cost. It's dangerous, Silk said of practicing the Christian faith in Iran. It's a day-to-day risk. It is very costly to them. The government is tracking. It is illegal for them to convert to Christianity. It's illegal for them to own a Bible, learn, share it with others, and talk about it. And the price you pay is a whole range. Silk said retribution for violating these restrictions could mean anything from a business being shut down to prison, torture, or even worse. It could cost them everything, she said.
Well, it does in a lot of other areas.
Yes, it does.
There's no doubt about it.
But God is faithful.
And I got news for you. What's happening in America is going to cost the churches and Christians as well. We're in a pile of trouble here.
Yes, we are.
And I like those kind of ministries, too. Just like
too.
The radio ministry that that we cover. You know, there's just so many ways you can reach these people. And people are hungry today.
They are.
You know, and they want to know that God's alive. They want to know that that's a true and living God.
They want peace in their life.
Yeah.
There's so much unrest in the world.
Well, there is. And, you know, so if you think you got problems in America, or even in Europe, or in Canada, you know, there's far worse places. Well, we're now on Somali Christians. This comes from International Christian Concern. You can go to persecution.org. And what this is about Somali Christians and trying to find a place to live. Everywhere they go, they wind up in trouble. And Somalia is one of those places. It's poor, and there's tons of trouble there. Often cited as the world's best example of a failed state, Somalia has for several decades suffered from lawlessness and deprivation. You know, and when they say that, lawlessness and deprivation, in other words, there's nothing there for you to eat, it's totally deprived. You know, if you had to live like that, you wouldn't like it.
Nope.
And we're talking undernourished babies, mothers with no milk, and I've literally seen this in live coverage. You know, that we covered. And the mother is so weak that she's sitting there trying to breastfeed the baby. And she has no milk. But her breast is there next to the baby. But the baby is sitting there glassy-eyed, his eyes wide open and his mouth open. And that was the picture that I saw when they said.
With flies on them.
Yeah, it's just horrible. So much of the country is extremely dangerous for anyone. And so this tiny Christian minority, they're in constant fear, and that's too bad.
It is.
There are thousands of Somali Christians outside Somalia. Despite having escaped their troubled homeland, they still often face isolation and danger, largely due to members of the Somali expat community who revile them for abandoning Islam. Well, that don't surprise me.
Yeah.
Few countries other than North Korea are more inhospitable towards Christianity than Somalia. And there's about 16 million in this East African nation. And almost all of them are Muslim. And the State Department says there's only 1,000 Christians in Somalia. No wonder they have trouble.
Yeah.
Now, the Somali Bible Society gives a much higher number. There's a Somali Christian in Uganda, and he agrees with the U.S. Department of State estimate. That's 1,000. He adds, though, that there are more than 5,000 Somali Christians outside of Somalia. And he says the number has grown slowly because it's not easy to preach the gospel to Somalis.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, what you need is miracles and signs and wonders.
Yep.
And then there's a young woman by the name of Naomi. That's a pseudonym. Nobody gives her real name when we do these. Somali Christian who helps produce Somali Christian TV says that a significant portion of Somali Christian converts become so after growing disillusioned by the widespread killing of Muslims by other Muslims in Somalia. Yeah, what does that tell you?
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. Wonder if there's the Sunni and... What's the other one? The Sunni and...
I can't remember.
Okay. Maybe they're killing each other.
Yeah. Ali says that evangelizing with social media has also led a considerable number of Somalis to convert to Christianity. You know, and there is no doubt about it. If you can get, on satellite and get these people, on a receiver down there, some station that'll receive it. But it's really hard in some areas. Even to get Bibles to them or anything to them, because they live in a place where there's just people wanting to kill you everywhere. Attacks on Somali Christians are the work of Somali terrorists. That's Al-Shabaab. And that is not new. That's Al-Shabaab's been killing people for a long time. And, 1,000 Muslims, that's less than 1%.
Among 16 million people?
Yeah. It wouldn't even register.
No.
God. No wonder they're having trouble. And so, now, the problem you have is if you're Muslim living there, even though you may not want to support the attacks, if you don't support it, then they're going to accuse you of not being a Muslim. Of course, it's called peer pressure. So pray for these Somali Christians. And there are so many different problems out there. It's not just Somalis. I mean, matter of fact, there are so many Christians, so many people groups that are in trouble right now. It's just mind-boggling.
Oh, it is.
And then look at America. America can't really help a lot of people because... she is way in debt, she has lots of issues, and she has packed to the rafters with illegals whom the Biden administration has given money and a bunch of other stuff. And so we don't have the money to give him, but he does it anyway. So this whole thing is nothing but a troubled issue because of the people that are around us. And usually, it's the government that is causing the issues. Now, we also are covering here today Indonesia. And... you remember a number of years ago when they had that flood out there, that tsunami?
Yes, yes.
And how many people were killed?
Oh, there was close to, I know there was over 250,000 people.
Yeah. And the thing of it is that they had a lot of issues. And Christians were persecuted. A summary of Indonesia. Extremists target religious minorities in Indonesia. They exploit harsh blasphemy laws that intimidate and suppress non-Muslim beliefs. Legal barriers on places of worship hinder Christian communities from the building or maintaining churches, making them vulnerable to extremist groups. In 2022, Indonesia passed a controversial criminal code, increasing penalties for blasphemy, and a lot of them have, and vaguely prohibiting evangelism affecting minority groups. President Yoko Widodo. Of course, this is in Indonesian, and I don't speak Indonesian, so I don't know how to pronounce it. Emphasized religious freedom, but Christians often face harassment and disruptions in their worship. That is not new. It's done everywhere. Indonesia faces ongoing challenges in achieving religious pluralism, requiring comprehensive approaches, interfaith dialogue, and international support for tolerance and minority. See, all of that, I mean, if you put it on one, you're going to have to put them on all. It's almost unreal. So the Christian population here is really surprising, Tower. 29.1 million.
Wow.
And Indonesia is huge. There's really a lot of islands in it. Now, the younger generation is showing tolerance and interest. And, of course, that's Indonesia and the coverage. This is International Christian Concern here that doing this. This little report they do, it's in depth, and they put it out every year. Public churches face persecution there, while converts from Islam must remain underground. Yeah. And that's the thing. Altogether, in Indonesia, they have 277.3 million.
Wow.
So 10% of that would be 27 million, and they have 29. So they have just over 10% Christian, which ain't much. So there's 87.2% Muslim, 7% Protestant, 2.9% Roman Catholic, 1.7% Hindu, and 1.3% other. Now, in early 2022, the president of Indonesia emphasized the importance of guaranteeing freedom of religion and worship for all citizens during his address at the National Coordination Meeting of regional heads throughout Indonesia. He stated that every religion, including Christianity, Catholicism, Hinduism, and Confucianism, holds the same right to worship as the majority Muslim population in Indonesia. Now, a lot of them say that, and they even have it in their constitution. But 9 times out of 10, Christians are killed in these places.
Yeah, the Muslims will not tolerate that kind
of... Yeah, they're not that tolerant. And so the Indonesian constitution explicitly upholds the right to practice religion freely in Indonesia. Now, see, the problem is how you practice it. If you practice Christianity, you got to keep it to yourself. And you can't share it. I mean, there's a total word over this whole thing, how they interpret it. So you got to make sure. I mean, if you like visiting places, you better be careful and make sure you know what the laws are. And so we're not going to go through any more of this, but Indonesia has always been one of those places that is really big. It has a lot of issues, and it's really hard to govern because there's so many islands, you know. And these people just end up doing stuff. You know, persecution and everything.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. So at any rate, I'm done with that. Are you ready to...
Well...
Or
here
do you think you don't have enough time?
I probably don't, but The Rising, it's a Christian fiction thriller. Pick up your copy today. One is Rising Among the Corridors of Power with legions of devotees. He knows his day has not yet arrived. He is elusive, powerful, and yet no one knows just how dangerous he is. none except a few who have known his works and the results. One of those is an ex-Black Ops sniper. The rising is here, yet there is that hand of opposition and faith which rises against it. The day is set for the corridors of darkness. And you can pick up your copy of The Rising by going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Google Play, Angus & Robertson, and also visit the WIBR Warren Radio websites, well, DanaGlennSmith.com, and visit our Christian book and resource shop, and you can get your copy of The Rising there. And now back to you, Dana.
Well, right now, let me look at the time. We do have about 10 minutes left.
Okay, well, I'm going to do this story on India. This is...
This is a good story.
This is an exciting story, and I'm glad to be able to do this. It comes to us, India Mega Church Growing Christianity. It comes to us via CBN.com. And Hyderabad, India. Calvary Temple is India's largest church with more than 300,000 members. Now it's on a mission to build 40 more mega churches in the next 10 years. Most roads in Hyderabad on Sundays lead to Calvary Temple. Shortly after 4 a.m., side streets around the church are already jammed. As church volunteers coordinate traffic, shuttle buses, auto rickshaws, and motorcycles ferry thousands of people, all trying to get here 2 hours ahead of Calvary's first of 5 services that begin at 6 a.m. By sunrise, the faithful have taken their seats. The sanctuary holds 18,000 people, supported by the adjacent Bethlehem Hall with 1,500,000.
15,000.
Oh, sorry, 15,000. And a third structure accommodating more than 3,000.
That's amazing.
It is. Hundreds more watch on television screens scattered around the sprawling Calvary campus. Pastor Kumar preaches all 5 services, with the last ending at 8 p.m. I've been given the grace to pastor this church, which is beyond my dream and imagination, Pastor Kumar told CBN News. Calvary Temple started in 2005 with about 24 people. Today, it boasts more than 300,000 members, making it one of the largest churches in the world.
That's amazing.
It is. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, indeed.
They have 11 satellite churches with plans for more nationwide expansion. God put a burden in my heart to establish 40 mega churches, just like what you see here during the next 10 years, said Pastor Kumar. He says the church adds some 3,000 new believers each month, in a sign that the Lord is moving mightily across the country of India.
Yes, amen.
God's hand is upon India. It's time for India to reach the lost, not only within the country, but across the globe. In addition, the church produces over 650 TV programs each month in 17 of the country's major languages for broadcast on national television. It's not only within the nation, but also in Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Gulf countries.
Oh, I love that.
I do too. Millions more follow on social media. The reason for the church's success, he says, is preaching the pure word of God is what attracts people. Practicing the word of God is what keeps people within the church, Pastor Kumar said.
Oh, that's great.
It is. That practical demonstration is on full display here each Sunday. One of the... I can't say his name, Narayana, works as a civil engineer during the week. On Sunday, he leads an army of 150 church volunteers who spend hours chopping, slicing, peeling, and stirring, all to prepare free breakfast, lunch, and dinner meals for 50,000 people.
That is the ultimate catering.
Oh, it is. We are committed to come here every Sunday at 3:30 a.m., and we keep working till evening. Narayana told CBN News as he marshaled his forces. Pastor Kumar, a Hindu convert to Christianity himself, says resistance produces power. No persecution has ever succeeded in stopping the preaching of the Word of God. It always promoted the Word of God and spread the Word of God across the countries. It's my passion, my burden, that before I die, I want to see every Indian will hear the gospel and know the Savior. That's an amazing story.
Thank you, Lord.
I do too. And you can read more on the story at cbn.com and look for the article, 300,000 Member Indian Church to Plant 40 More Mega Churches. Yes, thank you, Lord, for that. That's a blessing.
Wouldn't you love to see that happen in America?
Yes, that'd be amazing.
You know, it just really is. You know, it's one of those things. And you look at America, we are so busy. Anyway.
We're too busy.
With everything.
Yeah, we have too many distractions here in America.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing that happened was Franklin Graham's record response to the gospel along the U.S. border. Now, I've seen some stuff on that, both from Graham and from others at Eagle Pass, Texas. And he did this, and he always likes doing these big city tours, but he followed the cities along the border. It's called God Loves You Frontera Tour. And you know, after seven stops, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association reported more than 33,000 people have come out to hear the good news, and more than 4,000 have made decisions for Christ. In Eagle Pass, the crowd began gathering hours ahead of the event, and thousands packed the Maverick Counter Amphitheater, despite evening tempers dipping down into the 50s. It's a breath of fresh air with all the kind of negative news towards Eagle Pass.
Amen.
High school senior Anahi Martinez said she had high hopes for the evening. I want them to come to know the Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but I also wanted to bring revival to the church. And believe it, the church needs it. And I thank God that Franklin Graham did that.
Yes, amen.
You know, right in the middle of everything going on in the division in America, and, you know, all the troubles with the borders, you know, he goes down there on the border, follows out. Now, when I was watching some of the live coverage, you know, it was just amazing. Even, you know, the ones that wanted to cross, they were over there too. They were hearing the gospel.
That's good.
You know, because they were sitting out there. They could still hear. So, you know, thank God.
Yes,
thank God,
amen.
In the middle of everything. You know, when you think everything's going sideways, you know, God always has a way.
Yes, he does. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And so we're... we're done with that. We got a few more minutes in the show, but, you know, I am amazed, you know, when I see the church in India like that, when I see the moving, you know, in America we've had quite a number of big revivals here. Then Franklin Graham came with his Frontera tour. We see God moving around the world. So, folks, if you live in America, remember that, you know, when you come to the end and you can't do any more, that's when God begins.
Amen.
See, our God is not an if God. He is not a God that sees difficulties. He is the Almighty One. He is the one that will, when you run into a brick wall, he's bigger than a brick wall. He can take it down.
Nothing's impossible for the Lord.
Nothing. And thank God for the revivals we've seen in America.
Amen.
And so we praise God for this. Father, thank you for these shows and all of these whom we have covered tonight. Bless each and every one of them. Lord, bless each and every person connected to these stories. Lord, wherever they were, if they were where where Franklin Graham was, or if they were in that church in India, Lord, bless them.
Yes,
and
amen.
Touch them, Lord, and may your name be filled with glory and might and honor and power because of the move of God in these days that we live. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen.
Amen.
So, Tower, you do have a few minutes, so you don't have to just run through to say goodbye or whatever you want to say.
Well, thank you for joining us whenever you do. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Isaiah Part 210. Is that right?
Yep.
And that'll be tomorrow night. And we always enjoy having you here whenever you join us. We're thankful for you. We pray for you. We thank God for each and every one of you. Thank you for your letters. We enjoy hearing from you. And may God richly bless you for all you do for Him. Be safe. Watch out. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him in all your ways. And nothing's impossible with Him. Remember that. He will make a way. So we love you, and good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles, and don't forget to look for the new. We now have some new categories. And you'll see some of the stuff we have up there. But we've got a lot more because we're bringing out some of our old archives that we've had that haven't been online in years that I wrote years ago and we put together. So there are some things you will not want to miss. So we thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord watch over you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. May the light of His love and His countenance guide your steps. And may the Spirit of the Lord be with you everywhere you go. And may the angels of the Lord guard you and keep you safe, you and your families. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Almighty, in Revelation 21, I pray that God will keep you in His arms at all times. Don't lose the faith. Lose the devil and keep the faith. God is Almighty. Your faith can get you through, and there is no miracle that we cannot see. God is a mighty God. Yahshua Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Don't forget that. So until next time, this is the Watchman. Shalom. Have a good night. And until next time, be safe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.